Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today, Oshana Himmett. Oshana's speaking and coaching programs. Happy to have you, Oshana. Welcome.
I'm so happy to be here, Karen. Thank you.
Absolutely. Let me tell you a little bit about Oshana, and then we'll let her fill in the gaps. Oshana is a speaker and organizational coach in the Phoenix area who assists CEOs and professionals to achieve their goals effectively. She works with people who are making positive changes in their work, such as a starting up with a new business, a new project, a partnership, or any other way that they're moving forward. Oshana is starting a global training institute in the Phoenix area called Oshana's Joy Institute. The institute offers workshops, teleseminars, and special programs for youth. Its first program, a teleseminar called Leaping Forward, Achieving Your Goals in 2018, begins on March 5th. Oshana has a Master's of Business Administration degree in Corporate Finance from Golden Gate University in San Francisco, California, and is currently writing a book. I am very excited. We have so many things to cover. First of all, I grew up in the Belmont, California area outside of San Francisco, but have been a longtime Arizona resident. How about for you, Oshana? How long have you been in Arizona?
Actually, I've been in Arizona and California for an excess of a decade, and usually in the same year.
Go ahead, yes.
I find that they bring different things to my life and my work. The Phoenix climate is just amazing for my work, and I certainly love the weather and being here. And I've been residing in the Wairika Mount Shasta area, which is very different. It's very rural, it's very green, it's very wet. So that has actually inspired my writing, whereas being here is really more focused on my business.
I love that you have the ability to be in both places and get what you need from both. Tell us about your book.
Yes, I will. I actually wrote, it was here, I had gone to England about 10 years ago for 3 months, and I came back here. I liked the north area the best, and I was in a wonderful house in Cave Creek, and it had a wash around it, and it was just the perfect environment to write. And I started writing the book, which I thought was going to be a training book, because that's what I do. It ended up being a story. And I called it, It's All About Joy. It's a story about a man, John, in Arkansas, who's about to lose everything. He's an insurance salesman. He's not doing well on his job. He starts drinking. His wife's getting ready to leave him. His boss is getting ready to let him go. And he's sitting on the couch one day watching a football game. His wife's in Montana getting ready to move there, and he cries out for help. After he cries out for help, he hears a knock at the back door. And this very friendly man with a mustache says, come with me. And for some reason, he trusts him, and he does. He gets his jacket, and this man introduces him to people that teaches him how to have joy in his life and joy in the world. John becomes the head and founder of a foundation, and he works with gang members and youth all over the country and other people all over the country, teaching them what he learned from this group. And that's how I have joy in his life and joy in the world.
What a beautiful story. And it's a fiction, but also pulls in pieces of all the experiences you've had with your clients, I'm guessing?
Yes. I mean, really, everything I've done is really based, has its root in the organizational work I've been doing for two decades now. And even the personal development part, which came in very naturally when I began my practice, because I saw the efficacy of combining business and life coaching together. I saw that my clients were getting the best results. And that's because the subconscious mind does not distinguish between an action we take in the world and one that we do, such as an affirmation, which I call a positive goal statement.
Absolutely. I love that. And it's funny, as you were sharing the kind of the synopsis of the book, I can think of so many people that I've had an opportunity to work with and or get to know over the years in my career who have just hit that point where they are lacking joy. They are no longer feeling that they're in integrity with themselves, their family, their business, and they are looking for those answers. And that's really, Oshana, what you do. That's how you help people, correct?
You know, it is, Karen, and I don't really talk about joy very much. I talk about achieving your goals because what I have found both with myself and with my clients is when they're focused on achieving their goals, they are happier because they're creating momentum, they're fulfilling their goals, they're helping other people, and they feel naturally the feeling of joy. So I would say maybe 6 years ago, I started working on the development between developing joy and achieving your goal. And I find them very synergistic.
There's definitely, definitely a blend there.
Yeah. And I've developed actually a lot of methods because often the people I work with are from very traditional industries like financial services, healthcare, and technology. And so for me to lead with, will I help people create more joy? It's really not the way I've been doing my practice.
It's not their language, is it?
Right. So I focus on achieving goals. And in doing that, there's many questions. I call them survey questions. In fact, I have a whole method that's really leading my practice. It's all about asking questions. So when you do that, it's really quite amazing. You can get deeper levels of understanding of what your clients require and desire, what your partners want, what your staff would like. In doing all those things, you are creating joy. You're also achieving your goals.
Love it. Can we talk a little bit about goals then?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. So what would be some recommendations? We're just barely into 2018, and there are some who every year will set goals. Maybe it's even for the first time that they're setting goals. Those who don't at the new year, right? People come to 2018 in a variety of ways. What would you recommend are the best ways for folks to achieve their goals?
You know, one of the best methods I found is to create consistency. And that, I believe that's why people fall short of achieving their goals is because they don't take regular actions consistently. It doesn't have to be every day, though. I actually recommend that because I have found in my own life, and I don't really do anything in coaching that I haven't been doing with myself, I have found that daily consistency creates momentum. And it's really momentum that creates a goal to be accomplished. So I created a method. It's very simple. It's called Oshana's 90-day essential goal plan. I can share it if you like. And it's a really quite a simple way to create consistency. That's really the essence, is that you want to have regularity in the action steps you're taking, even though those action steps may change.
And you recommend that the consistency piece is necessary for momentum, even daily.
Daily, because you don't forget to drop it out. And because we're so busy, we're often multitasking, we can drop out essential parts of our life and work goals really easily. Unless, you know, some people might have a kind of mind where they remember everything, but
not my mind.
Most people write things down. And so I have found that by having a method, I'm on fire. I'm literally on fire about my life and my work because I've created ways to create momentum. And I see the changes in people I'm working with as well. I'm working with this wonderful man who's a CPA. He's been a senior level executive for years as a controller. Now he wants to have his own practice. And so we're using this method, which I can share more about, the survey method, that's helping him really understand what potential clients desire and require. And that's often the missing piece in success, is that we don't take enough time to understand what other people want. I include myself in this too. I am a work in progress as well, but I'm including staff relationships, partners, clients, potential clients, and certainly our personal life as well.
So tell us about, you said a survey piece to this.
Well, I started calling it Oshana's Survey Method, and it's really based on a whole body of work in the organizational field called inquiry. And it's a way of asking questions, open-ended. Most people know what open-ended questions are, and when you say the word, they go, well, I already know about that. But the truth is that there's never an end to discovering and practicing in a deeper way. And so an open-ended question is a question that cannot be answered by yes or no. And so you might say to somebody, do you like pizza? And they say, yes. So they like pizza. Do you know whether you should get them pizza as a present? From that answer, maybe, maybe not. But if you were to say, what kinds of pizza do you like? They will tell you anchovies and salami and olives and artichoke hearts and all that. And then you would know. And then you may want to ask a few more questions about how much they like pizza. So an open-ended, the best open-ended question I know is, can you say more about that? And you can really test the difference with people. Ask it the other way as a closed-ended yes or no question. And then ask them this other way. And then when there's something that you want to discover, whatever it is, let's just say it's, you're talking to a potential client. And you want to discover and understand more what would really help them. You have all these programs and you've been doing, let's say been in your profession for 20 years even. But you might be in a place of refinement with that and tweaking things and changing them. Or you might want to meet a different, work with a different target group, which is often the case. So if you create a list of what I call survey questions, often mostly the ones that cannot be answered by yes or no, and you are in the spirit of inquiry, which I feel is the spirit of discovery, as if you know nothing, and they can tell you everything. In that spirit, so many new ideas come, and I can give you two examples from my practice. And by the way, this client is using this method to help him create a practice that brings him the kind of clients, the kind of income, and the kind of time he wants to devote to a practice. Without that step of asking these questions to himself, too, he could take on clients right away. CPA, everybody needs an accountant. It's not the same as an optional, some kind of optional service. So he could fill his calendar, but the question is, would he have clients that he's happy with in 6 months? Would they be paying him what he desires to create? Would it be the kind of work he wants and the number of hours? And so rather than be unhappy in 6 months, he's taking this extra time to create a business model using the survey method that will work for him. And I can give you two examples, very different examples, which is why I love this method, because it works in many situations. One is, I've had a client for over 10 years. He's a scientist, a very good scientist. And a year ago, he said to me, I have this vision of a collaborative consortium of scientists that they write proposals together, usually government. They win them and they work on them together. Well, this is actually a new model, is to do collaborative work for scientists from, you know, different companies, different universities that work together. However, the government is very much supportive of this model of collaboration, which I can talk more about. And so I said to him, well, why don't we go to the colleagues we know, scientists, because I've been working with him for a long time. I will ask them, I didn't say survey questions, but what I did was I actually did ask them survey questions. And the one that I just led with was, what are your current most important goals and challenges? They all told me the same thing, funding and collaboration. Because of this encouragement of the government towards collaboration, and also because they cannot often do their research without knowing the scientific expertise of other scientists, they have to be in the space of collaboration right now more and more. And they're often okay about finding a scientist to help them. They're not great at the interpersonal skills of collaboration. So, make a long story short, he actually started this consortium. He's still in process with the first steps of it. But we had conference calls once a month on the phone. And many really wonderful scientists, very accomplished, are very interested in this because they require other expertise to do their work. And because a small technology company does not have the same opportunities that a larger one does, a collaborative consortium gives them the presence of a larger company so they can share their technology, their expertise, their knowledge. To me, this translates into more technologies in the world and a better quality of life for people in the world. And that's why I'm dedicated to that field. And I'll give one more example, unless you have a question.
No,
just please. Another example. Yeah, I did a favor for a scientist. I just helped him update the database. And I used the survey method. And in the process of just doing that simple thing for someone, I ended up receiving a contract in the field that enabled me to work with a research professor from a university and assist him to attract an industry sponsor for his agriculture precision center. It is really this method that is so powerful and so simple, often dismissed because of its simplicity, that is really leading my practice. And there's other examples I could give you of people in different fields using it as well. And it could be applied to sales, to training, organizational development, staff relationships, partner relationships, goals, and challenges in a company and a company in relation to other groups and individuals. It's just wonderful.
I'm finding that as I talk to business owners and really even solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, more and more people are seeing that the more we collaborate, the more we build these strong relationships, or to use your words, these exceptional relationships, the less we feel this need to compete for the sake of competing. Do you find that as well?
I actually have taken that word out of my vocabulary because I don't believe in it. I really believe that we are in an age of collaboration.
Absolutely.
And that anyone doing the same thing could be our collaborator.
Yes.
And the more we get to know them, we see how we can help each other, how we can make a difference globally, how we complement each other's interests. I'm working with somebody else who's really quite brilliant in the area of social change, and he's really wanting to make a difference in that area. He already has. And his skills are really in some areas. It's a very big and kind of unusual field, maybe a new field in some ways. And so, you know, he's beginning to reach out to others doing work because he could have a client where there's just no way he could do all of it. Somebody else has better skills in whatever, some other aspect, implementation or something else that he can't do. And so the more that we are open to learning how to collaborate, and that which does involve the interpersonal, and I'm happy to talk about that. Really, the same thing with technology. The more wonderful products and services get out there that help people globally.
Love it. I see more and more businesses, corporations, nonprofits, and I hear you saying the same thing. More and more people are looking to really identify the people that they enjoy working with, that they can give a hand up to, as well as to be mentored by in this collaborative experience that brings us closer to our goal. I found that through the radio studio, everybody that comes through here, people really have a passion and a purpose and are very clear about who they are and what they want to achieve in the world. Where that I see that sometimes we're lacking is in this defined goal and really knowing how to structure our way through and towards that end. So it's wonderful to talk to someone like yourself, Oshana, who says, okay, I also see the passion, the purpose, and what people want to do and achieve, and help them go through that towards, you know, exceptional relationships as well as goal setting.
Thanks for sharing that, Karen. Can I share a parable with you?
Absolutely.
This story that has touched me for years. In fact, I read it again in preparation to be on the show with you. Probably some listeners have already read it. It's called The Chinese Bamboo Tree. And it's a story about, really it's a parable, in that Chinese bamboo trees show no sign of growth for the first 4 years. They receive water and they receive sunshine and fertilizer, and nothing happens on the outside. In the fifth year, this same bamboo tree grows 80 feet.
Wow.
And I'm making the analogy of many people who have a vision and a goal, and they work so hard and nothing happens or very little happens. And actually, that was true with me as well for a long time. Just not much on the surface, not really that much acknowledgement from people I was even working with. But same with the bamboo tree. It's like, and this is what I read, and I'm so inspired by this. It's the root system that continues to receive replenishment in the first 4 years. And without the focus on the root system, the bamboo tree will not shoot up 80 feet. And so it's often, and you know, it's often friends and family may not be supportive because, you know, people quit 8 to 5 jobs and they go into a state where perhaps as an entrepreneur, it's not the same financially for a while. And so there's a risk and all of that happens. But the truth is, I do believe that if we keep believing in what we're doing and we're open to collaboration, we're open to tweaking and coaching and suggestions, different ways to do things. And this method or other methods where we continue to ask questions and refine what we do, and we have the inner green light to keep going, we will break through into success, just like the bamboo tree. And we may have to change our business model in the process, but through collaborating and inviting the ideas of other people, we can keep tweaking what we started in a way that creates benefit for others.
Any career that I've had an opportunity to witness for the people closest to me, or even reading about folks in the news, it's this journey of not only professional development and where we're headed and the marks that we're making, but personal development, which is what you're speaking to. You can't have one without the other.
Many people try to have one without the other. I mean, many business owners, I mean, I really, in the last 10 years, I've gotten hired for business goals more than anything else. Now I'm blending it more. There was a time when I actually did much more business and life coaching. And then the last 10 years have been really focused on honing my skills in, well, working with scientists and collaboration skills and the survey method and building these methods, which I couldn't have done. I could not have done that without before. But I do find that those that are willing to do some personal development work, they're able to change things more quickly. They're more fluid in their thinking. They're more flexible. I like to hear your ideas about this too. They're more flexible in their thinking. And the business results show. They're faster, they're easier, more opportunities come. I think with personal development, relationships are better because we're more interested in, well, forgiving and listening to the other person and things like that. So relationships improve. And I have found this thing about new opportunities coming in as well, just with my business clients that are also doing personal development.
I'm fascinated with how much our, I'm going to say, coaching industry has moved in the direction of this cohesiveness between personal and professional development. And it sounds like you've been doing it a lot longer than I have. And I love that you've selected this group of people. And I'm going to be stereotypical just to make a point, but it sounds like it, with the folks that you've had the pleasure to work with that might be more analytical in their thinking. Are now seeing that that so much more, again, I'm going to use the word joy to borrow your word, so much more joy and cohesiveness and ultimately success in achieving their goals comes from being able to be a witness to the very own growth that they're participating in or observing their lack of.
You know, it's really so true. And one thing I found is that sometimes an organizational issue, I don't even really use that word anymore. I say challenge, can be resolved purely through personal development.
Absolutely.
Something structurally, not all the time, something structurally could be completely resolved through personal development, especially when there's a whole group, when there's a whole department or a whole company dedicated to the same things and they talk about things. And they have the space to bring things up at the time that it's an issue, a problem, or challenge. And when there is the openness in that culture to actually be able to share ideas that are not always positive, but that are real and truthful, the most amazing things can happen from that. And a couple times I've worked with, this is actually one of my best models. I've worked with the head of a company or department and their staff. So I've done like one-on-one business or business and life coaching with the head of that group. And then I've done training and coaching with their staff. And I can tell you both times I did this, it was within a month that the whole way they were working together and talking with each other and honoring each other completely changed. Because they wanted the creativity and the innovation and the joy that comes with serving. And they couldn't get there when they were at each other's throats, when they were in the critical, blaming, judgmental space. There's no way. Joy and well-being and contribution cannot arise in that space.
Tell us what the personal well-being method looks like. Can you describe that a little bit more for us?
I can. And I actually have only recently expanded it to include organizational relationship and personal well-being. It started really 10 years ago when I created this circle method, which is very much similar to what you probably know this. Very common in coaching. It's called the coaching wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you draw a circle and you divide your life into, in that method, there's about 8 different sections. I think I use only 5. And so this is a life circle. And so I name them relationships, health, career, money, and personal growth. And then I ask people to create a positive goal statement similar to an affirmation. And the way I define a positive goal statement is that you create a statement exactly as if you have already accomplished that goal, just the way you want it to be. And you look at it every day, or you talk about it, or you share it with your colleagues, whatever you do with that statement. And then you create a list of, let's just talk about 90 days. So you create a list of actions you're going to take within the next 90 days to accomplish that goal. And you divide that into the first month and week and the first day. So every day you take one action. I don't even suggest people take more than one because we're all so busy. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, next day, you look at what you did and you refine it. You ask yourself, do I have any new insights or ideas? And what is my action this day or the next, depending on when you do it? I tend to not do it the same day. I'm working toward that, though. So I usually do it in the morning. And just doing that, taking the action and refining it, the consistency of that and having a goal statement. It's so simple. So I first started using it with, I call it Oshana's life circle. And then now I've got a relationship circle and an organizational circle. So you can divide an organization into departments. And with relationships, let's say just work relationships, you can focus on your essential relationships. If there's something within yourself that is not relating to that person in the way that's creating the results you want, even in the company, you can often first work on it within yourself without even telling anyone. And then you could, if that person is open, you could actually work on things together, which is wonderful. But the personal well-being part, I can tell you for myself that this and other things that I do, that I really have changed my entire life using some of these processes into much more joy and well-being and hopefully contribution too.
I love that you share that from your own personal experience as well as those of the folks that are blessed to work with you. I myself, when I look back at my life, my professional life, it really even just my life as a woman, I look back and I think when those points of achievements, the most satisfying points of achievements for me have come from being very clear about my goal and tracking it. And that's the piece that I hear you saying that you offer through your methods. It's being able to build momentum through that consistency, but also having it in front of you in an organized fashion enough so that you can track it.
Yeah, you know, this is something that I've become ruthless about this and for myself. And it's really interesting because I wasn't that way many years ago. I mean, people that knew me 20 years ago would have never said that about me, and I wasn't. But the more focused I am on my goals, the more I see the fruit, and actually the happier I am. And the more possibilities I see, not only for myself and people I work with, but for the world, to actually have a world that works for everyone, a society where we can create a quality of life for everyone. And that is why I wake up every morning that is what brings the most joy to me and the inspiration to keep tweaking these processes. And, you know, it somewhat seems somewhat mundane at times, but if people are getting results and I can make a bigger difference, and people I know who have their own, I usually work with people that are thought leaders and really want to contribute. And if they can make a difference, then truly we can have, I believe, a kind of society that we all know we can have. And really, that's what keeps me continuing to refine these processes and work.
You're having me remember a book that I read years ago. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It's the Everything I Learned in Kindergarten or something along those lines. You remember that? I think it was from the 80s. I don't know what. But I remember finding so much joy in reading that book because it talked about how simple things are. Some of the basics, most basic of things that we learned in kindergarten and, you know, being kind to each other and being mindful of where you're, you know, where you're currently present, those sorts of things. And I hear you saying that the work that you do, the methods that you provide your clients, that accountability, that tracking, that standing in the power of their relationships and their goal setting, while it seems very simple, when we talk about it, sometimes it may be harder to implement, but that's why you're in their life, to help them continue to see the end result before they can see it themselves.
And really, every coach, I think, you know, has that as part of their work. The accountability part is just, we're kind of like cheerleaders in a way with some good skills. You know, we just want the people we work with to go out and share what they do in a way that makes a difference. There's one other thing I wanted to share based on what you said, and that is that it's often, and this is true with youth, I've seen this with youth, I'd love to hear your ideas as well, is that there's a lot of youth in Western countries that are angry. They're angry at their parents, they're angry at their life circumstances. They might have a dream for some kind of career, but they don't have a clue how to create it. And I think the work of coaches, and hopefully the work I'm doing, is helping to fill that gap. And I do have the desire to work with youth to help them with the personal development part is important, because unless they're able to forgive and let go of that anger and channel it constructively using their creativity, I don't think they have a good chance to create the kind of professions that will bring them both joy and income. But if they do, and if they're willing to do that work, they could create anything because they're so talented.
I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, I have two kiddos at ASU right now, 23 and 21, and a little guy at home who's only 10. But I'm finding that as I parent and work with my own kiddos, let alone the clients that I work with who are more youthful, when they have an opportunity to be given opportunities to take a look at their life and realize they have control of where their destiny, like they can decide where they want to go and how to navigate that. A lot of times, I don't think our kids know that, right? They just step into their life as a family member and whatever school they happen to be plunked into. And no wonder why, as you mentioned, some of them are angry and frustrated. The more that we can help guide them to achieve their goals, to leap forward, and provide them those opportunities without pricing some of these people out of that. That's one of the things that I found frustrated, Oshana, and I'm guessing that you agree as we've gotten to know each other on this conversation. Some of the coaches have put such a high price point on working with them, whether it's a self-paced program or in person and everything in between. Some of the kids who need us most are not having that opportunity.
No. And it's because perhaps their parents and their teachers don't have these skills that can really lead them to first acknowledge and express in constructive ways what they're feeling, and then also to get on with, let's say, a livelihood that they could create. And so, you know, to be able to know that they can create whatever they desire, like you said, is so powerful. But for them to really know it and work with it, the only way they can work with it is through the methods that all of us create as coaches. So they have a framework and they have a focus. And with that, they can, well, you know, there's been so many that have risen out of poverty and created wonderful things and contributions. And so any diversity can really be overcome. But to have a way to do that is something that many of us can offer, and that is a wonderful thing. And so perhaps we also need to include parents and teachers in these trainings. Because without the support, you know, it's one thing you go to camp for a week. If you come back to the same environment, you're not going to be able to hold it on your own.
Right. Tell us more then about the Global Training Institute. I love this perfect kind of bridge and segue to talk about youth. This institute's going to be working through workshops and teleseminars, special programs for you specifically, and it's not location specific because is a good portion of the training online then?
Well, the first one is online. It's on March 5th. I can share it now or at the end, whatever.
Sure, right
whatever
now
you
is
like.
Perfect, yeah.
It was about 10 years ago when I came back from England, I began to have a vision myself for a global training institute. And so actually, I'm just now, this month, sending the paperwork in to make it official. It's called Oshana's Joy Institute. It's here in Phoenix. And there are three types of programs. There are teleseminars and workshops and special programs for youth. The one on March 5th, I had the pleasure of teaching with my colleague, a business lawyer here, Gina Morrissey, very accomplished business lawyer who works a lot with contracts, and she's just wonderful at what she does. And so we've been creating this class together called Leaping Forward, Achieving Your Goals in 2018. And it's really about, you know, how do we accomplish them easily, efficiently, now, and with joy. So a lot of these methods will be part of the class. There'll be a lot of, I would say, group work, individual work. We'll get to know each other. And we have Gina's wonderful expertise in teaching us how to stay protected while we're making positive changes in our work, which I think is so invaluable to have her as part of the class, teaching the class. So that's the class. It starts on March 5th on Monday night at 6. It's going to be probably 90 minutes because that way we'll have time for questions and answers or perhaps one-on-one work with either Gina or myself. I'll be bringing in this method, survey method, and everyone has the opportunity to work on one or two essential goals and either accomplish them or create a milestone and accomplish that within the six weeks. That's the first class. It's a teleseminar. I invite people to call me or email me if you would like to talk about participating. We have special rates for a whole company or department. And so if you want me to wait till the end for my phone number, do it now, either
yeah,
way.
Now is perfect, fine. Oshana.
Okay. So my phone number is 602-463-6797, 602-463-6797. And my email is Oshana at OshanaSpeakingCoaching.com. There's only one S. So it's Oshana at OshanaSpeakingCoaching.com. And I'd love to talk to you and to hear more about your goals. So a little more about the Institute.
Yeah.
And that is that I have had this vision since I was a child of a better world. And I think probably many people that are listening have a vision too. Because I believe somehow in our DNA, deep down, we know we can create something really great. So for me, this is the form, the structure I've created. It actually has a few more pieces besides these three, but I'm starting with these three. And I would like it to be global because I think that the intellectual property and the contributions of people globally in the spirit and actually practical in terms of collaboration can make a difference. When we can do something in more than one country, where we can tap into the expertise of people in other countries, we can make a bigger difference. So the workshops will be here and in Europe. The teleseminars will be global through cyberspace, and that way we can meet people in different countries actually as well. And the youth programs will be here and in Europe as well.
Exciting plans. It leaves me wondering, how did you get started on this trajectory for your career as a coach and a speaker?
It's a great question. I thought you were going to ask me that. Well, I'll tell you, I'm from a Jewish family, and I was really inspired by the ethics in Judaism growing up, just that social responsibility and those things. And I was always inspired by humanitarian endeavors. And so when I went back to school for that master's degree, I actually ended up getting two. I don't really talk about it very much, but the second one was actually in arts administration, which gave me an experience of working with nonprofits as well, because this humanitarian thing didn't really quit. And so in my choice of a profession, when I realized that I had business skills, I knew it would create a foundation for my work. I chose that. And then I began working with organizations. Now it's really much more corporate. But in the early days, I did work with many grassroots organizations in South Central Los Angeles. And they had no, I helped them to create, well, actually, one of the first things I did after graduate school, I created a class on what is still called nonprofit enterprise. And what that means is nonprofits creating business projects so they can actually become more financially self-sufficient. You, Karen, might have your own experience of this, of working with groups like this. But this body of knowledge is really helping nonprofits start projects that create income directly to them, not through some grant. And what I found is that it's easier and sometimes a little safer legally when that business project is related to their mission, though it can be the other way as well. I just found it safer. So I wrote my thesis on nonprofit, and I didn't even know there was a field like that. I kind of worked my way through school doing telemarketing and telephone sales, if you can believe that. And I was sitting there, I would be on the phone for 10 hours a day sometimes, because I actually fell in love with it. And I still use it in my profession, but not in that way. And I conceived of this idea when I was thinking of a thesis topic. I wanted something that helps nonprofits create income. So I came up with this idea. I went to my advisor and I said, I want to do it on this. And she pulls out this 500-page book. And it was a whole book on nonprofit enterprise. And I did not even know it existed. So that's how I started. I started working with grassroots nonprofits and on this nonprofit enterprise thing and teaching and working, helping them with marketing strategies and grant writing. And then I segued into first working with entrepreneurs and then sometimes larger companies in helping them with leadership and staff development, staff communication, which I now call relationship development. And I discovered on my own early on that when I asked questions, it was much better than giving advice. So I became a coach organically. I just became one. And I would often combine coaching with consulting and training. Sometimes I would work with somebody as a coach and then they needed someone to kind of get in there and make phone calls or do something or receive the information so they could move forward. So I do that and then I go back into coaching mode and did trainings and some speaking. And then when I came back to Phoenix, I ended up doing some speaking in the fall, last fall to the financial services sector. And now I'm actually creating a lot more momentum around my really becoming a speaker and being a speaker and sharing my work that way and combining it with coaching. In fact, I created a special program where I combine speaking and coaching together because I believe that the way we really create refinement in the way that we relate to people and do our work in companies and help our companies move forward is really through the reinforcement that coaching brings. So I'm happy to give a talk, but I even more than that would like to give a talk and then reinforce it through coaching.
How, for our listeners and myself included, who can we help introduce you to so that you have more opportunities for this speaking coaching piece? What kind of organizations would you like to see yourself in front of and spending time with?
Thank you so much. Well, I love the healthcare sector. I just love the health field. It's really dear to my heart. I would love to talk to healthcare organizations, hospitals, anybody in the healthcare world here in Phoenix, because I feel that the blend of the organizational work I've been doing and the personal development work can make a difference in staff relationships, patient relationships, sometimes doctor-staff relationships, all of that, and patient relationships, which is all about well-being. It's all about creating more well-being in every way and consciously working on that, whether it's some of the organizational parts or the other or both, can make a big difference in helping patients hopefully have the kind of experience where they will get better.
Absolutely. I have several different groups that I will have to, once we're off air, I'll have to connect you with, because my mind is just racing with all the wonderful folks who need to know about the methods and the work that you're doing. Really phenomenal.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. And there are other groups, as I mentioned. I've been, actually, since I came back to Phoenix in September, I've been doing work in the financial services sector, which is also one that I've done quite a lot of work in. Back in the telemarketing days, when I was earning my living that way, it was often for financial planners, and I worked with accountants and people in real estate and all that. So financial services, certainly I love technology. And I also, the other part of my work, I've worked with people in the arts, sustainability, education, alcohol and drug recovery and prevention. So many fields.
Excellent. Any lasting thoughts that you'd like to share with us before we close our show today? Anything else that you thought, gosh, when I'm on Phoenix Business Radio X, I want to make sure our listeners know this.
Well, I think it's about having a vision and not knowing how to implement it or feeling discouraged. Because with methods like the Inquiry Method, or I'm sure there are coaches that have other fantastic methods too. There's ways to get from the vision to implementation that you might not know how to do on your own. But to be open to wonderful coaches that are here that can help and kind of take you by the hand and be really on the sideline, but also give pointers. There is a way to, I believe, to create an implementation. Maybe it's in collaboration. Maybe it's on your own. And maybe it's tweaking what you think is going to work, but it's not working. And so I believe that if we keep tweaking long enough, we're going to get to the right formula and it will work. But sometimes we need help.
Goes back to that bamboo tree, those first 4 years. I love that. I've not heard that parable before. It really is around sticking with something long enough and continue to tweak and massage it out to see it through to fruition with strong, strong roots. And then, of course, the abundance that we get to see and experience beyond that.
Yeah, and it's funny. I just read an article about they gave a couple stories about Honda and Walt Disney and how many failures they had. How many failures? And so, you know, whether we ever get to that level or we're just part of a group that can really make a difference. You know, I think what matters is that we just keep going, whether or not we have to refine it 100 times or more. And that we find joy in what we do.
Love it. Great place for us to close our show today. Oshana, it's been a pleasure to get to know you and share this time together. We will make sure that we put the podcast replay up on our site and we'll include your contact information. For those listening to us live, if you wouldn't mind giving your phone number and your website one more time for us, please.
Sure. And I welcome your calls and connecting. I'm really here to be here for you. My phone number is 602-463-6797. That's 602-463-6797. And my email is oshana@oshanaspeakingcoaching.com. I will give you my website. It has just a little on the teleseminar and more on coaching. And that is oshanaspeakingcoaching.com with one S. And that's O. S as in Sam, H-A-N as in Nancy A. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.